I also wanted to say hello to Sholo. I'm sorry. Not my intention to leave you out, but I saved the best for last. And also wanted to say hello to those in East Africa. This message will go out to them for next Sabbath. And just wanted to let you know in East Africa that we're praying for you. We're thinking of you. I know you're still in lockdown. And I'm getting emails, and I see that you guys are stir crazy. And I would say just hold on and go through the process. I know some of you have to get out there for food. Please work with your pastors regarding any situation regarding food. And let's just be wise in that, in that process, and how we do that. So we're praying for you here in the United States. I know you're praying for us here. And I just wanted to say hello to you. In the United States, we are starting to open up. There is no vaccine. And truthfully, I would never take the vaccine. And But it's still around. And people who have conditions are staying home, and anyone who's more accessible to getting the virus, I would just say you're better probably not being out in public too much. But you know, here in the United States, life is going on. It's starting to. We've opened up. We still have people and individuals who don't want that. And so we have certain areas of the media who, and certain mayors and governors, you know, we are at odds. We are a country divided. And so, but we are starting to open up, and there, we are getting some protests as well, and maybe that will increase. I don't know. We are starting to open up for church. Soon, there's a few churches here that have opened up. We're still following the policies and making sure that we stay, have social distancing, and making sure we wash our hands. And I know in East Africa, we have to do our best at that, don't we, of staying clean, so we're not carrying that virus or any type of other illness as well. Well, every day, we must deal with our nature, and not just our nature, but also the nature of others that we come into contact with, don't we? And that is a process, that is something that we have to work with, because sometimes we can wake up on the wrong side of the bed, and we have, we're grumpy, or, you know, something doesn't go our way, but it's something that we, with God's calling, that we're aware of, and we're also, through God's calling, how we are to react with others, that we are to be love. So how are we doing? What advice does God have for us in doing better? Because sometimes we have bad days, and sometimes we have bad weeks, sometimes months. We have a certain trial going on. How are we doing? How are we handling it? And as I just stated, what advice does God have for us and how to be able to handle our nature, to have control of our nature, and to be able to respond to others that may have a bad nature and their response to us? Today, I'm going to look at that through an answer that has to do with day by day. So I've titled the message, Day by Day. Now, God's desire for those whom he calls into the body of Christ are to be Christ-like. Let's turn over to Ephesians for those who want to follow through by going to the scriptures. Ephesians chapter 4. And here we'll see that what God's desire for the body of Christ is, when we're called, is to be able to control our nature. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 13 says, as you break into, as we come, it says, come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and then use that knowledge, says, to a perfect man, to be a perfect woman, to the measure. So we have a yardstick. We're measured to the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we are to be like Christ. Now, perfect, Christ was perfect. He never sinned. We sin. We make mistakes. And through that sacrifice, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through God's help, we can go before His throne and have our sins forgiven. So we understand that. What it's talking about here is to become mature, to understand the will of God and to do the will of God. Now, through this process, we have that same understanding. We have that same zeal, that same desire, the same godly desire, the same unity. And so then we walk together, side by side, in our trials. We may have a bad week, and yes, we can be, certain emotions can race, but we are mature, and we are to be able to control our nature. Now, Satan has a different desire, a different goal for us. Over in John chapter 10. I'm going to read the first part of this, John chapter 10. Verse 10. Satan wants us to have his nature. He wants to steal what God has given to us. John chapter 10 says, the thief, talking about Satan, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. We're on a ship. We're on the ocean. We've set sail. And Satan wants to shipwreck us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to kill us. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He wants to take what God has given to us and take it away. And we know that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. That's 1 John 5:19. As a reference, 1 Peter 5:8, Satan is described as a roaring lion seeking whom he will devour. And lions are powerful. They're wild. They'll pounce on us. In Africa, you go through the safaris and the game parks, and you're in a van. And for some reason, they just sort of ignore you in that van. They walk around, they do their own things. But step out of that van, and they will come after. They will devour. They'll eat us. They'll destroy us, rip us apart. In Revelation 12:19, as a reference, he's labeled as one who deceives the whole world. I mean, he leads people away from the truth. He wants to lead you and me away from the truth. That's what he does. He's a sheep eater. And it's something that we need to be aware of. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at the battle that we're in. Ephesians chapter 6. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. The world looks at Satan as a devil, red devil with a pitchfork. He's a little naughty, and that's what I want to be in my life. He's deceived the world. Brethren, we are not to be deceived. He is powerful, and we cannot go out of that Jeep in Africa on a safari and think we can be safe. God puts a hedge around us. He puts a hedge even around this world to a certain extent, or he would destroy the whole world. Ephesians 2:2 says that Satan works in the sons of disobedience. Well, who are the sons of disobedience? You and I were disobedient. At one time, God never called us. All right, when we are not following God, it says, well, here, it says, Satan works in the sons of disobedience, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. So, at one point, God never called us. And we were sons of disobedience, disobedient to God's law. We didn't know what God's law was. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. We didn't know God. We may have loved God. We may have went to church on Sunday or whenever. Or maybe we didn't. But when we don't obey God, we were considered sons of disobedience. Now, we are called. We're living to God. When we disobey God and we continue in disobedience, who are we following? We're following the sheep eater, Satan, the devil. Now, wrestle. We don't wrestle against our own flesh and blood. Now, when you look at sports, now, I would say wrestling is probably the most tiring sport there is. And I think we have all wrestled. When I was a little kid, I wrestled all the time. I wrestled my brother. I mean, his collarbone broke, I think, 9 times. And I was always getting blamed for it. We'd play football, we'd do different things. So I felt bad, and it's like he was wearing this brace all the time. But when you wrestle, okay, you get tired. I mean, I took wrestling in high school. I was never good at it. I always got beat. And I don't even know, you know, but I know you get tired. Sometimes those matches didn't last very long. My mom was one of those ones. I'm trying to lose weight. She's always trying to make me eat. Going to the wrestling match just before, eat this. Well, Mom, I have to weigh. You have to have your strength. Eat. So I was always higher up than I should be in the weight class. And the people that were higher up, they were down because they didn't eat enough. So I was easy pickings. But anyway, when you wrestle, when my wife and I first got married, we wrestled a lot. But when you wrestle against someone that is a good match, I know that Nick and Rio, they'll wrestle around the house sometimes. It gets tiring. Someone grabs the foot. The other person grabs that hand from the foot. The other person grabs around the back. The other person grabs the hand around the back to get it off the back. And it's just a struggle. One person's attacking certain areas of the body. The other person's trying to untack that body. And it's exhausting. It's tiring. And I think that's why Paul used the word wrestle. It's a fight. It's an ongoing battle. We can become tired, exhausted, and give up. We don't want to. Satan does not give up. This is a spiritual battle, and Satan is attacking our mind. He's attacking our thoughts. And it can be draining. So today, how do we prevail in wrestling against spiritual powers? I like to look at one area today. You may say, well, we need to put God first. Well, okay. What do we do in putting God first? I would say, let's look at some action points. I mean, we can say, okay, we need to put God first. But what do we do in putting God first? I'm not going to be able to cover everything today in that area, but I want to cover an area. I want us to be able to deal with our nature, and how we respond to Satan, and what we need to be doing in responding to God, our nature, and how we respond to other people's nature when we come into contact with them, when they may try to lead us astray, or they respond to us negatively, how do we respond back? We know we're told to love our neighbor as ourself. We're to love others that are not called yet, because they will be called at some point, as we heard in the first message. We know that Satan wants to wear us down. And we must be working on being godly in both cases, in our nature and what we do in responding to other people. Now, the last part of John 10, verse 10, maybe you've read that. John 10, verse 10, there was another part. First part, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Christ says in the last part of verse 10, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more, and they may have it more abundantly. In other words, we get help. We get help. Ephesians 3:20, I read to you, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, according to the Holy Spirit that works in us. God knows we have needs. God knows that we need help. And God has given us his mindset. Now, just as a reference, not going to turn there, but Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus Christ says, come to me, all those who labor and are heavy laden, come to me, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Rest from the disobedience, following the ways of this world. Our understanding, God says, lean unto me. John 16:33 says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Christ has overcome. He was in the flesh, he was here, he overcame Satan, he overcame those pulls. He had a nature that was godly, and it's the same nature that we are seeking in our lives. And we are also encouraged that he will be with us to the very end. And we know that God will give us eternal life. That's a reward. That is a gift that God wants to give us. John 10:28, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So he's saying Satan will not even be able to snatch us away from God. So we have that assurance. But we must be putting God first in all that we do. So how do we do that? We know that Satan is the opposite of God. He's a destroyer. He's a murderer. He's a thief. And we must be aware. As a destroyer, he works on us. Yeah, he'll work on our emotions. He destroys loving and caring relationships amongst us. We see that in the world. We wrestle with that in our lives. What that leads to evil thoughts, it leads to evil acts. He takes pleasure in dividing and conquering and blinding us from knowing the real purpose of why we were born and the potential that God has for human beings, that we are created in his image. So he doesn't like that. So he goes out devouring, seeking whom he may devour. As a murderer, John 8:44, he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. How? He does that in many ways, but he really, in the overall picture, he entices us to sin. He seeks to bring us the death penalty for those of us who've been called and accepted that calling, eternal death. That's what he wants. As a thief, Satan can steal our time spent in prayer and meditation. And that's what I want to talk about today. He does not like a person on their knees praying to God. Now, Jesus Christ was the strongest wrestler there ever was. He was strong. But he was attacked. He was pressured. And he fought back. Where did he get his strength? Let's turn over to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Luke 5, 16. So he himself, and this is Luke writing, he himself often, and that's italicized, withdrew into the wilderness and he prayed. But often, okay, I think we can go back and we'll see that Christ did do that often. So he himself withdrew into the wilderness and he prayed. Since we're in Luke, let's go forward to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And it says, in the model prayer here, it says, as we're praying to God and as we're seeking to live to God, it says, verse 3, it says, day by day, give us day by day our daily bread. Now we know that John 5, 19, let's turn back over there, John 5, 19. Jesus makes this statement, and here's Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, created all things. And what does he say? John 5, 19. Then Jesus, as he's making a statement, he answered them, most surely I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. I can do nothing. And we think sometimes that we can go out into the world and we think that we can tackle things on our own. But Christ says, I can do nothing. Can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. And then John 15, 5, what does Christ say about us? John 15, 5, it says, I am the vine. It says, you are the branches. He who abides in me, or he who remains in me, in other words, those who hear the words of Christ and want to follow them, I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Without me we can't take on Satan. He will deceive us. He will destroy us. He will wreck us. So here, looking at Luke and the model prayer, we have it in Matthew and we also have it in Luke, give us day by day our daily bread. Now, if we look at that, if we're seeking God, let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 before I go any further. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm talking today about Jesus Christ being the living bread, seeking the living bread. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in verse 16, we're told, therefore, do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. In other words, we're growing older and we're going to die. We have illnesses and, you know, it's perishing. The older we get, the closer we are to death. It's perishing. Yet the inward man, the inside, is being cleansed, is being renewed. How? Day by day. Now, day by day, you can look up, it's two Greek words, day, one Greek word, and by day, a very similar Greek word, but it's two different things. It means within a 24-hour time period. I want to turn over to Luke chapter 17 just to give you an example. Luke chapter 17. Luke 17 talks about a day, a 24-hour time period. Luke 17, verse 4 says, "And if he sins against you seven times in a day," so in a day, there's how many seconds in a day? We know that there's 24 hours in a day. "If he sins against you seven times in a day," so it's talking here about a time frame, "and then seven times in a day he returns to you saying, 'I repent,' then he says, 'Forgive him.'" So we're talking about, here's like 14 times in a time period, in a day. So give us this day our daily bread, and day by day. Each and every day throughout the day is what it's talking about. So, and I looked it up in the Greek, day by day says we grow, or to grow, to make new. New strength is given. And so day by day, as we pray to God, we wrestle Satan. We wrestle Satan. We get close to God, and Satan will flee. Now, I want to give us 4 points. I have 4 action-related points for us to apply day by day as we pray day by day and having a relationship with God. Now, when we wrestle, when we're seeking to overcome, if we're seeking to do the will of God, he gives us that help. Now, sometimes we drift. That doesn't mean God gives up on us. All right? But Satan can get a hold of us, and we can drift, and he can get into our lives, and our nature, the way we act, the way we respond, is not godly, is it? We've done that. It's happened. And sometimes it happens to us even now, but it's something that we hate, something that we don't like, it's something that we don't want to do. And that's what's the most important thing, is not let Satan get a hold of us. We fight, we wrestle, and it can be tiring, but we don't give up. So point number one in us to be able to have action and related for us to be able to apply day by day and doing it every day, we need to have the mind to always follow God. Follow God's lead. Have the mind to always follow God's lead. That's point number one. Now, we must be aware of Satan's devices. Now, we know that there are false teachers. We have false teachers in the world. There were false teachers that came into the church that were teaching a different doctrine that Satan had put in there. And we don't want to follow deceitful workers. We don't want to be deceived ourselves. We know the truth, and let's not tire. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. We'll read a few verses here. So we'll start in verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding." So we're all in for God, and we're not to lean. All in for God, and we're not to lean. Satan wants us to lean. He wants to pull us away. Oh, does God want you to do that? Does he really want you to do that? Oh, yeah, I would like to lean to my understanding, to compromise maybe God's word. Verse 6, so no leaning on our part. Point number one is to have the mind to always follow God's lead. Always follow God's lead. Verse 6, "In all things let him lead us." So it says, "In your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." So if we acknowledge God and seek to do his will, he's going to lead us. He's going to show us how to live, what to do. He's going to comfort us. Question is, are you and I listening? Verse 7 talks about turning from doing our will, and our will is contrary to God, and if we're contrary to God, we're following Satan, so that would be evil. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And verse 8, if we follow God, we'll keep wrestling day by day, right? It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Wow. Do we trust God? Do we believe God? I know when we first were baptized and we came into this calling and we received God's Holy Spirit for help, we did. And that's when Satan comes and starts that real attack. And that's why we're going through the armor for protection that we're talking about in Ephesians for our children and for us. Now, John 6, 44, verses 44 and 45. We talk about this, about a calling, right? John 6, 44 says, "No one could come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." And verse 45, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God, every man therefore that has heard and has learned of the Father comes to me." Right? That's how the calling starts. But does it end there? It doesn't. It's a continuation. We continue that in our lives. We grow deeper in understanding and applying God's ways. Point number 2. Always be ready for Satan's attack. Turn over to Matthew chapter 4. Now, we need to know Scripture. If we're going to be ready for Satan's attacks, yes, we need God, all right? But we need to know Scripture, and we need to be living Scripture. And that's what Jesus Christ did. And Satan did not prevail. Now, did Satan attack? Yes. Will Satan attack us? Yes, he does it every day. He does it constantly throughout the day. But it's interesting over here that Jesus Christ, as we read over in Luke, prayed often. Right? And we're told in Luke, in the model prayer, we're told in Matthew, to pray to God and to seek our bread, our daily bread. Now, Jesus Christ fasted for 40 days. He didn't eat any physical bread. Yes, he had physical needs, and he needed, what did he need most? He needed strength to overcome Satan, to be strengthened by God, and Jesus Christ did the will of God. Jesus Christ did exactly what was required of him. Now, if you go through here, Satan is attacking Christ after he's fasted, after he's been praying. And you can go through here through 1 through verse 11. We hit some highlights. Christ answers Satan with Scripture. And Christ was living by that Scripture. And verse 4, Christ answers Satan, "Is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So, yeah, I need bread to live and to survive and to function. But the most important to be able to attack you is this spiritual bread, to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He didn't say some. He didn't lean to his understanding. He was God, but looking at it from our thing, our side, sometimes we like to lean. We don't like to live by every word of God. Something comes in, and oh, that's just the self. It's so desirable. It's pleasant to the eyes. No, we know what Scripture says. Christ knew what Scripture says. He quoted Scripture and he lived by it. Verse 7, Christ answers Satan again. It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And Christ lived by that. Verse 10, Christ answered Satan again. Away with you, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And that's what Christ did. Christ set the example for us. James 4, 7, I'm going to reference it. Submit to God and resist Satan. It actually says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we submit, means we obey, we're subject to God. And we see over here in Matthew that, verse 11, and the devil left. He quit. So there's times that we get relief as well, and we need that relief. But he's coming back. But he cannot prevail if we're seeking to live to God. Point number three that I have here, and these aren't just the only points. There's many points, but these are the ones I came up with. But I think they're important. As we live our life and as we go before God, we're living to him. We're not just playing a certain way, not fully living to God, and then going to him in prayer and think that he's going to listen. We're still practicing disobedience. Now, we can do things that we think are okay, and, you know, God forgives sins that we don't know that we're committing. He works with us. He guides us. He directs us. But when he shows us what sin is, we need to respond to overcome that sin. And he shows us what righteousness is through his law. And we need to apply that in our lives to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But point number three, always seek God's thinking for us. Always seek God's thinking for us. Now, what did John the Baptist say? John 3:30. We need to be like John. John chapter 3, verse 30. He was preparing the way, right, for Jesus the Christ. John 3:30, he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. God must increase. And we could take that and we can look at it as in our lives, God must increase. We must grow in the understanding. But if we're leaning to our understanding, we're not going to be able to increase. We must have the attitude of decreasing. Now let's look at an example over here in Philippians that Paul gives. Philippians chapter 3. Paul was very zealous in his calling. And he killed people. He thought he was doing the right thing. But he eventually learned that that was not right. And I have the wrong scripture. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Oh, I'm sorry, Philippians. That's why. Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. He's saying here in verse 7, he's saying, but what things were gained to me, these have counted loss for Christ. In other words, the things that he thought that were a gain to him was not on the right path for the sake of God and Christ. That was not what God wanted. And we can be so zealous sometimes. We can be blinded, right? He was blinded. And we know the story where God had to pull those scales off his eyes to open his mind to see. God has given that to us. Satan wants to take it away. And we don't want to allow Satan to do that. But there's times in our lives where we lean to our understanding, and that's what happens. That's what happens. So here he says, he's saying, listen, brethren. Okay, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. So my righteousness, my thinking, I count it as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. I put it away. I surrender to God that I may find Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. So he thought he was made righteous by keeping the law and thought that other people had to keep the law only the way that he thought it needed to be kept, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteous. That's how we keep the law, which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, have been conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And that's the life that Paul lived. That's the same life that we need to live. He says in verse 12, not that I have already attained. So he says, I haven't already attained that reward. I must continue on this path. Or already perfected. In other words, my nature is not already perfected. I mean, I still sin. I still wrestle. But I don't give up. He says, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So Christ is with us. He's guiding us. He's directing us. We must continue to wrestle. And that's what I'm looking at today, is how we live, is that we're living in the right perspective so that when we go to God in prayer, that he will hear our prayers. For the physical as well, but also the spiritual, to be able to conquer, to be able to do God's will. So that leads me to point number four. And point number four could have been point number one. It says, master being repentant and humble. Master it. Master it. Christ was the master of humbling himself to the Father. Now, Matthew chapter 5, we can look at something here. Matthew chapter 5. We have to have a relationship. We're family. We have to have a relationship with the world. God died for them as well. And so we need to be putting on God's nature in our life. And that's what is required. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, you know, whether you're bringing an offering or bringing your prayer, and you remember that your brother has something against you. So here we're seeing it. It's like, well, listen, okay, am I going to be humble? Am I going to listen? Or do I think I'm just going to have this relationship with God and let, guess what? If we're not having a relationship, the right relationship, if we're not forgiving others, even if they hate us, then we're not wrestling. We've given up. Satan has won. And remember that your brother has something against you. We are too, when we go to prayer, it's like, I think about this sometimes, did I just do something that I upset someone? And sometimes in my prayer, it's like, oh, I need to address something first. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So the mindset shouldn't be as we just come in prayer to God. Sometimes, oh, that should be our mindset every day. Throughout the day, right? Praying to God. It's a constant thing. Satan is always attacking. He's always there wrestling. And we can get tired. I don't want to pray. Oh, I don't want to go say I'm sorry. Ah. And then something comes up in our life, and he asks us to do something that's contrary to God, and we lean to our understanding, and then we believe it. And then we're on the wrong path. It is about family. It is about relationships. And it's a requirement. And we need to go before God and ask for his help. I'd like to go to one final scripture in regarding to this point over in Isaiah. And we can look at this from any perspective. We can look at when we go before counseling and all that we do. And there's and counseling is wise. And sometimes when we counsel, a wise counselor is going to lead us to God's word. And sometimes it can be even muddy, and we'll get counseling ourselves. Say, we don't know. Well, let's look into this. But what do? We do make mistakes. We do mess up. Satan pulls us off track. But we can get back on track. Master humility. Master repentance. And we go before God. He's there to comfort us. And Satan cannot get to us. Yes, he's still going to attack. Still going to wear us down. But, hey, we have eternal life coming. We know there's a time when there's no longer it's going to be this way. We fight to our last breath. I like Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. He says, I dwell in the high and holy places. Not Satan. Satan wanted to. Satan wanted to throw God off his throne. Can't do it. God is in control. And God is in charge. And God has a plan. And you and I have to overcome the influences of Satan, the devil. We can't let him get to us. With him who has a contrite and humble spirit. He says, I dwell in the high places and holy place. With him who has a contrite and humble spirit. A contrite. I'm wrong? Oh. Okay. And then we seek humility. And we change. To revive. Oh, he's going to revive us. I've been doing something wrong. To revive the spirit of the humble. We've humbled ourselves. We're willing to listen. We're willing to change. God is the master. He teaches us. And to revive the heart to the contrite ones. He revives us when we repent, when we change. We make mistakes. Satan can get us off track. We can lean to our own understanding. So in conclusion, I just like to ask, because this is something that we need to look at. This is something that God has opened our eyes to see. We know we need God's tools. We need to pray. We need to fast. We need to meditate. And we know that God loves us. He sacrificed his son. His son was willing to die for us, for the family. For all mankind. They want us all in their family. But he's called us now. And we're not any more important. And if we feel that way, it's wrong, as we heard in the first message. But is there anything I said today that we shouldn't do? We're in a fight for our lives. God has revealed the scriptures to us. As I opened up the message in Ephesians 4:13, I'd like to read it again. And if you go back into Ephesians and you read the previous verses, God has inspired, he's put people in place for his work to be done. And in the body, every joint does its part. Until, and we must, come to the unity of the faith, the body will, and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. We'll become mature, we'll understand this. Yes, we're weak. Yes, we can't do this on our own. And we go before God and ask for help to have this understanding, to be mature, to overcome. And then we hang around like minds to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then we put that into practice. We love and we serve as a family. We don't stay self-focused. We overcome that. So we have the same understanding, right? We obey God, the same godly desires, the same zeal, the same unity. And we walk side by side in our trials together. We pray for one another. We care for one another. We help one another. Prayer helps us with that. If we have the same mind as Christ and we're willing to do God's will, God will answer our prayers. He'll help us. We can go before Him and say, I messed up. And you know what? Yeah, we messed up. He revealed that to us. Let's go to the person that we messed up with. All right? And we've got to be careful how we do that. We don't just need to go and put all our sins on them. We can address the situation and I'm sorry, I was wrong, all right? We make those changes in our lives. We make those changes in our nature of how we react. We make those changes in our nature of how we're living so that we can be humble and we can repent and we can be godly and we can be serving others. But if we're leaning to our understanding, that's not going to happen. So when we pray, let's remember to have the mind to always follow God. And we're doing that every day. And we go to Him in prayer, we're doing that. Always be ready for Satan's attacks. I mean, have that mind, even though we know we mess up. Always, point number three, always seek God's thinking for us. I need to decrease. I need to let God increase in me. I know He loves me. I know He cares for me. And then we need to master being repentant and humble. Being humble and repentant. We could take this life of meaning that Christ has to offer us, or we can leave it to Satan to rob us of our calling, to destroy us, to shipwreck us, of the purpose of our very existence, and allow him to shatter our lives. The choice is ours. So let's you and I make the most of our prayer time. Let's do it often, and let's do it day by day.